Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his...
Oh, watch that beautiful banner go, brothers and sisters, when the Messiah returns, oh yes, to do battle with the evil one. Shalom Aleichem for all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I am Pastor Steve. The show is Word for Word. And this show is for Monday, the 27th of March, 2017. We're still in the book of Ezekiel. We'll wrap it up this week. We're starting in chapter 39 today, and probably just doing 39 and 40 because both of them are rather long, and I don't want to miss out on any notations or chapter notes and any information here. But before we get started with that, I'd like to announce again that Eurofolk Radio is offering a beautiful full-color calendar depicting the Hebrew feast days according to Enoch's solar calendar. Brother Hebert of North Carolina had put this together. It's on heavy gloss paper, full-color. Each page depicts scenes from the Bible and from our Anglo-Saxon heritage. And if you would like a copy and wish to help EFR at the same time, because we really could use it, just click on the donate button at the top of the page and send us a donation of $20 or more to get your calendar. Please put the word calendar in the message and give us your mailing address, and you will get your calendar in time for the new feast days, beginning with Passover, Sunday evening, April 2nd, 2017. And you will help EFR with operating expenses as well. We're out of pocket here from the people that are running it. And we really could use some of your help. We could use some physical assistance uploading onto the archives and stuff. We're looking for qualified people that know computers pretty well, and trying to get some of that together. We're all working ourselves to death here, and it's all volunteer. Nobody gets paid, so we're working for Yahweh, and that's a blessing in itself. So let's get started here on the book of Ezekiel on chapter 39. Let me get a drink of coffee and I'll be right with you. Ah, yes, that's fresh and hot. 39 is more wrath on Gog. Verse 1, Therefore you, son of Adam, prophesy against Gog and say, Thus says the Lord Yahweh, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, I will turn you around and lead you on, 8338, and will make you come up from the remote parts of the north and will bring you upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 3, And I will smite your bow from your left hand and make your arrows fall from your right hand. Uh-oh. And here's verse 4, and you can reference 3 Maccabees 6, verse 34 for that. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your army, and the peoples that are with you, I will give you to the birds of prey, 5861, the carrion eaters, birds of every wing, and the living creatures of the field for food. Just carrion on the face of the earth. Verse 5, you shall fall upon the face of the field because I have spoken, declares the Lord Yahweh. Verse 6, and I will send a fire upon Magog and among those dwelling securely on the seacoast, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 7, so I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned, 2490, anymore. And the nation shall know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One, 6918, in Israel. Verse 8, behold, it has come, it has happened, declares the Lord Yahweh. This is the day of which I have spoken. The dwellers in the city of Israel shall go forth and kindle and burn the weapons, bucklers and shields, bows and arrows, staves of the hand and spears, and they shall kindle fires with them 7 years. Verse 10, so that they shall take away no trees from the field, nor cut down, 2404, any from the forest, because they shall kindle fires with the weapons, and they shall despoil the despoilers and plunder the plunderers, declares the Lord Yahweh. Well, this is future prophecy because it hasn't happened. It'll be in the future. Verse 11. It shall be in that day, I will give to Gog a place there of graves, 6913, in Israel. The valley of the passers through, 5674. On the east of the sea. And it shall stop, 2629, the way of the passers through. And there they shall bury, 6912, Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the Valley of Hamon. 1995, Gog, 1463. Hamon Gog means multitude of Gog. Verse 12. And for 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them, so that they may cleanse the land. Verse 13. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be a day of renown, that's name, 8034, to them, when I shall be glorified, 3513, declares the Lord Yahweh. Verse 14. And they shall set apart, 914, men of continuity, 8548, those that are men that continually travel around and search for unfound corpses. They shall set apart men of continuity to pass through the land, to bury with the passers through those that remain upon the face of the land, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months, they shall search. Verse 15. And the passers through that pass through the land, when any sees an Adam's bone. Now this leads me to believe that Gog might be of the seed of Adam. That's very strange, but we know that we have enemies within our own people. They are showing themselves now and have been for some time, those that are against true Israel. Those of our people that are deluded or just evil and do it for money. Any number of reasons. Satan is going to set a lot of our own people against us. So, this is future prophecy, and we don't really know what's actually going to occur. I mean, they give hints, but we have all these little hints like Adam's bones. That's peculiar because the seed of Adam has Adam's bones. The passers through that pass through the land, when any sees an Adam's bone, he shall set up a signpost, 6725, by it, until the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. Verse 16. There shall be a city named Hamona, 1997. That means multitude. Thus the land shall be cleansed. Here's verse 17. And verses 17 through 20 here, you can reference Revelations 19, verses 17 and 18. And you, son of Adam, thus says the Lord Yahweh, speak to every winged bird and to every living creature of the field. This is what he's to say to them. Assemble yourselves, 6908, and come. Gather from every side to my sacrifice that I sacrifice for you, a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, so that you may eat flesh and drink blood. Verse 18. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the land. Of rams, of lambs, of goats, of bulls, all fatlings of Bashan. Verse 19. And you shall eat fat until you are filled, and drink blood until you are drunken from my sacrifice, which I sacrifice for you. It's going to be a great slaughter. Verse 20 is sort of metaphorical here. You shall be sated, 7646, at my table, with horses and chariots, with mighty men, all men of war, declares the Lord Yahweh. Like these animals and birds are going to sit at his supper table. That's sort of poetic. That's the way they write. Verse 21. I will set my glory among the nations, and all nations shall see the judgment I execute, and my hand that I have put upon them. Now he's talking about all nations, Israel and the others. They're all going to fear him. They're all going to bow to Yeshua when he comes back. Every one of them. Adamic seed, non-Adamic seed, mutts, whatever, they're all going to quiver and fall to their knees. Because Yahweh is the God of the entire universe. Period. And every living creature on this planet will come under subjection to Yeshua Messiah when he returns. And that's what these people don't realize. Oh, they talk brave and talk tough now while they're persecuting us. But in that day, they will rue the day they were born. Verse 22. The house of Israel shall know that I am Yahweh, their Elohim, from that day and onwards. Verse 23. The nation shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me, so I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. 6862. So fell all of them by the sword. Not all were killed, but a lot of them fell on their knees in fear of the sword and were taken away into captivity. Verse 24, according to their uncleanness, 2932, and their transgressions, 6588, I have dealt with them and hid my face from them. Verse 25, therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, now I will restore the captives of Jacob and have compassion upon the whole house of Israel and will be zealous, 7065, for my holy name. In other words, they're not going to blaspheme that name anymore. Verse 26. After they have borne their shame, 3639, and all their trespasses, 4604, which they have committed, 4603, against me, when they dwelt securely in the land and none terrified them. 2729. Verse 27. When I returned them from the peoples and gathered them from the lands of their hated enemies, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, he's going to show his power to Israelites and non-Israelites alike. Verse 28. Then they shall know that I am Yahweh their Elohim, who caused them to go into captivity among the nations. But I have But I have gathered, 3664, them unto their own land, and have left none of them there any more. Neither will I hide my face from them any more, because I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, declares the Lord Yahweh. Well, it's the future battle that's coming. Who will the attackers be? Will they be those of Adamic seed line, but not of the covenant people? Many times this has been the case in history. We see in Israel Identity today how our own people hate us for telling the truth of who Israel really is racially. We are reviled among the Judeo-Christian churches. I mean, all kinds of little clues are in Scripture, and they are coming together gradually and being revealed to us. Well, that ends chapter 39. We are watching a lot of things today, and we're watching the smoke and mirrors of politics with Trump and the rest of them. Don't put your faith in men, brothers and sisters. Just don't. Don't trust any of them. They are all part of the money crowd. I watched a vid this evening again of how many of the Talmudists Trump has around him and all these positions of power he's placed them in. Don't look for Trump to make any real big changes. He's going to do what he's allowed to do. And it is another ruse to make people think that things are going to straighten up. Oh, look at this. It's all going to be sunshine and roses. And the Cleaver family is going to move back into town with Beaver Cleaver and... it'll be the 1950s all over again. Don't hold your breath, okay? Let's get into chapter 40 here. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, destroyed the temple. Koresh, the one they call Cyrus in the English, which is totally wrong, Koresh, king of Persia, will fund and rebuild the second temple, the one that existed all the way up through Yeshua's time, which was destroyed later by the Romans, the Zerah branch of Yehuda. This is Yechezkel's vision of the temple, Ezekiel's vision. There are two types of cubits, the standard cubit, which is about 18 inches, and the sacred cubit of a cubit and a hand's breadth, which is about 22 inches long. Pardon me. The sacred cubit is used in this chapter and all the way through chapter 43. A reed that they're going to talk about is just that. It is a reed cut to a specific length of 6 cubits and used for measuring. Big long reed, but they had them precise and they duplicated them one after another. The one using the standard cubit is 9 feet in length, and the one in these chapters uses the sacred cubit times 6, which is 11 feet long. Chapters 40 through 43 have a great deal in common with 1 Kings chapter 6 and 2 Chronicles chapter 3. These are all construction details, and they really don't require a lot of comment. I will only give you the scripture references as to what scriptures pertain to the what's in this chapter 40. Verse 1. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city, that's Jerusalem, was smitten, 14 years after, in the selfsame day, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and brought me there. Verse 2, and you can reference Revelations 21, verse 10. In the visions of Elohim, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain. Now you remember, he's having this vision while he is a captive in Babel. And set me upon a very high mountain, upon which was like the structure, 4011, of a city on the south. Verse 3. And you can reference, pardon me, Revelations 11, verse 1, and 21, verse 15. And he brought me there, and behold, a man, that's an Ish, 376, whose appearance, 4758, was like the appearance of bronze, 5178, with a cord, 6616, of flax, 6593, in his hand, and a measuring, 4060, reed, 7070, and he stood in the gate. Pardon me. The man said to me, Son of Adam, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and set your mind upon all that I shall show you. You are brought here for the purpose that I show them to you. Declare, 5046, all that you see to the house of Israel. Verse 5 through 40. Verse 40, chapter 40, verse 5, through chapter 42, verse 20, you can reference 1 Kings 6, 1 through 38, and 2 Chronicles 3, verses 1 through 9. Boy, I have trouble with that. I'm getting more senile every day. Verse 5, behold, a wall on the outside of the house, that's the house of Yahweh, all around, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long, that's 11 feet, by the cubit and a handbreadth. 2948, that's the sacred cubit. He measured 4058, the width of the structure, one reed, and the height, one reed. Verse 6, he went to the gate which faced toward the east, and ascended the stairs of it, and measured the threshold of the gate, one reed wide, and the other threshold, one reed deep. And 7341 is Rokab, and it is used for width and depth. Verse 7, each chamber, 8372, was one reed long, 753, and one reed deep. And between the chambers, it was 5 cubits. Okay, that's 9 foot 2 inches. And the threshold of the gate by the porch, 197, of the gate inside, was one reed deep. Verse 8. He also measured the porch of the inside gate, one reed. Then he measured the porch of the gate, 8 cubits. That's 14 foot 8. And the pilasters, 352. That's ayilim, plural. That's a decorative pillar or projection at each side of an entrance or a window. 2 cubits, and the porch of the gate was inward. Verse 10, and the chambers of the eastward gate were 3 on one side and 3 on the other side. The 3 were of one measurement, and the pilasters had one measurement on one side and on the other side. They were duplicated. Verse 11, he measured the width of the entrance of the gate, 10 cubits, that's 18 foot 2 inches, and the length of the gate, 13 cubits, that's 23 feet 10 inches. The barriers, that's the borders, barriers, 1366, Gabul, before the chambers were 1 cubit, as barriers on each side of 1 cubit, and the chambers were 6 cubits on this side and 6 cubits on that side. Verse 13, he measured the gate from the roof of one chamber to the roof of another. The width was 25 cubits, that's 45 feet 10 inches, door opposite door. Verse 14, he made the pilasters 60 cubits, that's 60 cubits, that's 110 feet, apart. To the pilaster of the courtyard around the gate. Verse 15. From the face of the entrance gate to the face of the porch of the inner gate, 50 cubits. That means the front, when they say the face, and 50 cubits is 91 feet 8 inches. The chambers had narrow 331 windows, 2474, with pilasters inside the gate all around. Likewise, the porches with windows inside all around. Upon each pilaster were palm figures. 8561. This is Timorain from Timora. Decorative carvings on the window frames, basically. Verse 17. He brought me to the outer courtyard, and lo, there were cells, 3957. That's Lishka. Those are cells or chambers for the dwelling of singers and priests. Barracks, in other words. And a pavement made for the courtyard all around. 30 cells were upon the pavement. Verse 18, the pavement by the side of the gates corresponding to the length of the gates was the lower pavement. Verse 19, he measured the width from the face of the lower gate to the face of the inner courtyard from outside, 100 cubits east and north. That's 183 feet 4 inches. See, this is what they're going to build in the future when the king of Persia, Koresh, builds it. They're going to take Ezekiel's vision, which they wrote down, and they're going to build the second temple according to these dimensions. And the gate of the outer courtyard that faced to the north, he measured the length and width of it. And there were three chambers on this side and three chambers on that side. And the pilasters of it and the porches of it were measured as the first gate. The length was 50 cubits and the width was 25 cubits. Verse 22, and the windows and the porches and palm figures were measured as the gate that faced toward the east. They were duplicated, in other words. And seven steps, 4609, Ma'aloth, ascended to it, and the porches of it was before them. Verse 23, the gate of the inner courtyard was opposite the gate toward the north, as toward the east. And he measured from gate to gate 100 cubits. Verse 24. Then he brought me to the south and beheld a gate toward the south. And he measured the pilasters of it and the porches of it according to these measures. Same measures as before. Everything's identical. Verse 25. And the windows of it and the porches around it were like the other windows. The length was 50 cubits and the width 25 cubits. Verse 26. And seven steps ascended to it. That's 5930, and that literally means that which goes up. And the porches of it were before them, and it had palm figures, one on this side and one on that side, upon the pilasters of it, just like all the other stuff. 27, and a gate in the inner courtyard toward the south, and he measured from gate to gate toward the south 100 cubits. Verse 28, and he brought me to the inner courtyard by the south gate, and he measured the south gate according to these measures. Again, duplication. Verse 29, and the chambers of it, and the pilasters of it, and the porches of it, according to these measures, and there were windows in it, and in the porches of it, round about 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Pardon me, everything they did here, they duplicated over and over and over. Each wall, everything looked identical. And they were very fanatical about it because the temple was such a big deal. Verse 30. And the porches around it, 25 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. Verse 31, and the porches of it were toward the outer courtyard, and palm figures were upon the pilasters of it, and the ascent to it had 8 steps. Verse 32, and he brought me into the inner courtyard toward the east, and he measured the gate according to these measures. In other words, they were all identical measures to all the gates. Verse 33, the chambers of it and the pilasters of it were according to these measures, in other words, duplicated again, and there were windows in it, and in the porches of it, round about 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Verse 34, And the porches of it were toward the outer courtyard, and palm figures were upon the pilasters of it, on this side and on that side, and the ascent to it had 8 steps. Verse 35. And he brought me to the north gate and measured according to these measures. Another duplication. All the gates. Verse 36. The chambers of it, the pilasters of it, and the porches of it, and the windows of it round about, the length was 50 cubits, and the width 25 cubits. Verse 37, and the pilasters of it were toward the outer courtyard, and the palm figures were upon the pilasters of it, on this side and on that side, and the ascent to it had 8 steps. They're duplicating this stuff over and over and over. I know it's a little dull, but this has a lot to do with what's coming in the future. Verse 38, and the cells and their entrances, those are the living chambers, were by the pilasters of the gates where they washed, 1740, the burnt offering. Verse 39. And in the porch of the gate were 2 tables on this side and 2 tables on that side to slay, 7819, on them the burnt offering and the sin offering, 2403. And the guilt offering, 817. Verse 40. And on the side of the outside, as one goes up to the entrance of the north gate, were 2 tables. And on the other side, which was at the porch of the gate, were 2 tables. Verse 41. 4 tables on this side and 4 tables on that side, by the side of the gate, 8 tables upon which they slaughtered, 7819, their sacrifices. And the 4 tables for the burnt offering were of hewn stone of a cubit and a half long, that's 33 inches, and a cubit and a half wide, and 1 cubit high, upon which they laid the instruments, that's referring to the sacrificial knives, with which they slaughtered the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Verse 43, and within were Shephathiam, 8240. It's a dubious word. KJV has hooks, but more likely it's borders on the sides of the tables. So that there, it's a little, put a question mark by that one. Shephathiam of a handbreadth, 2948, fastened all around. And the flesh of the offering was upon the tables. Okay. And the handbreadth, 2948, is tophach. And that's a width of a hand spread out, thumb to little finger. Verse 44, and outside the inner gate were the cells of the singers, 7891, that's shetatim, from shear, to sing. In the inner courtyard, which was at the side of the north gate and faced toward the south, and the same at the side of the east gate, facing toward the north. And it has east gate here, 6921, but the Septuagint has the south gate, which makes more sense. Okay. Verse 43. And he said to me, this cell with faces toward the south is for the priests, the keepers of the charge, 4931, that's the responsibility and oversight of the house. Now, speaking of the house of Yahweh, the new one that they're going to build. Verse 46. And the cell which faces toward the north is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the altar, 4196. Different classes of priests. These are the sons of Zadok, T-S-A-D-O-Q, 6659. And he was a descendant of Eleazar, son of Aharon. Among the sons of Levi, which come near to Yahweh to minister to him. Only certain priests could go near. They had to be of Aharonic descent, or they would be blasted. Verse 47, so he measured the courtyard 100 cubits long and 100 cubits wide, four square, 7251. And the altar was before the house. Here's the temple. Well, house and temple are the same thing where measurements are concerned. Verse 48, and he brought me to the porch of the house and measured each pilaster of the porch, 5 cubits on this side and 5 cubits on that side. And the width of the gate was 3 cubits on this side and 3 cubits on that side. That's 5'6". Verse 49. The length of the porch was 20 cubits, that's 36'8", and the width 11 cubits, that's 20'2". And by the steps by which they ascended to it were pillars, 5982, of cedar by the pilasters, one on this side and another on that side. That ends chapter 40. Now, chapter 41 is going to be a continuation of these construction details. We'll get into that tomorrow. I'm going to try to do 41, 42, and 43 tomorrow because of the length of the chapter today. I really can't get into the next chapter and do it justice. We're right at 43 minutes here, which is 18 minutes from the end of the show, so that's not enough time to do that whole chapter. These are painstakingly written down, these details. And they would be duplicated when the end of the Babylonian captivity came and Israel and Judah returned to that land. They would be scattered about. There won't be as many of them. And they will prosper for a certain period of time. But again, they will sink into apostasy, which eventually led to their dispersion, and they were dispersed all over the place. At this time, people from Israel and Yehuda drifted out and migrated, and they started going into Europe around this time period. The massive exodus from the land, the former land of Israel, would be coming later. And after Yahshua's time, when Israel revolted against Rome, that ended it. The Romans came in, leveled the city, leveled the second temple, and actually plowed the ground. They destroyed everything, but that was after Yahshua's ascension. That resulted in the rest of us going up into Europe in massive influx through the pass of Israel in the Caucasus Mountains, and we were called Caucasians. And we dispersed all over the place, and here we are today. And we are watching similar events comparable to what was going on back then happen again with our worldly governments of today. Now, we have a much greater mechanized, technologically advanced situation and civilization, but the basic nature of people has not changed. We've still got a lot of sin, we've still got a lot of wickedness and evil and perversion and all the things that Yahweh hates. Well, we have been under a grace period for some time, and Yahweh has been merciful. But with the escalation being so rapid of the perversion and corruption and evil and violence that's in the world today, Yahweh's patience is reaching an end. And he said it's going to end. And there's going to be a tribulation period. Okay, well, I'm keeping all my eyes and ears open, and I'm not saying I believe all of this that is on the internet about this Planet X, but they're talking about scientific data about magnetic fields and warping orbits, and actually it's so powerful it'll warp the shape of the Earth, and then it'll pass by, and then it'll cause all the tectonic plates to do all of this stuff, and it fits the prophecies and all of that. I don't know the method that Yahweh is going to use for this tribulation. I can't tell you that. I don't know. And I'm not going to hypothesize, but if we had any sort of natural catastrophe such as would occur, the governments would panic, and they would have all their little hidey holes for them to hide in, and they would clamp down with martial force on everybody, and it would be a total hellhole, and everybody would be fighting among themselves, and the Muslims would want to kill all the Christians, and the Jews would want to kill everybody like they do now, and Whitey is just going to have to try to survive. Yahweh works in mysterious ways. He does not reveal everything to us. We're not that high on the pecking order that we need to know the how and why of everything. We just aren't. We're here as a testing ground. We're supposed to learn how to be obedient and come back to Him and repent. And whatever method is used to bring around this trouble, we of Israel must keep our faith in Yahweh that he will preserve us. Now, a certain amount of us, I am sure, will go down. I may be one of them. I'm an old man. I'm not tough anymore. I may sleep in the dust for a while. But I have confidence in Yahweh and his promises that everything that he has said has come true. And I firmly believe and live my life to the end that I will be resurrected to eternal life. I believe that because I know these bodies are only temporary. And they break down, they wear out like any other device. But the spirit within these bodies is so magnificent that this is not all there is. You don't just die and that's it. No. There is so much more. And I have seen it in other people. The glow of the spirit, the magnificence that Yahweh has laid upon a lot of people. That they just glow with his spirit, and you can feel it when you get around them. I trust in something greater than mankind. Something unseen. I can't take a photograph of it. I can't chip off a piece of it to take to some scientist for testing. Because I'm only an atom. And so are all these other people with their head in the clouds, with their arrogance of their pseudoscience, that will not believe in anything greater than themselves. And they make a serious error in doing so. Yahweh is so vast and so all-knowing and powerful that we cannot comprehend him. Not fully. We can get a little glimpse, okay? We don't rate that high in the pecking order that we get to see Yahweh. Even Moshe, the greatest of the prophets, his greatest servant, and his friend that he loved, he even punished him. He wouldn't let him go into the promised land because he is a divine being of absolute perfection and his justice is perfect. And Moshe disobeyed, even though he was his friend and he loved him dearly. He had to do justice with Moshe. How much more so with us? But that's not to say he doesn't love us. Even his love for us is so incomprehensibly huge, we can't really conceive of it all. We are his children, literally. And later on, we're going to have more stuff revealed to us as stuff is revealed to us daily now. And our impetuousness and lack of patience, which we have chronically suffered from throughout the ages, is what gets us in trouble. We have to wait on Yahweh. It tells us that all through Scripture. We need patience. And Yahweh has got all this stuff figured out. He's got it in hand. Whatever he's going to do, he's going to do. The same way with this Planet X business. Okay, there's some great big thing coming at us. Well, you know, you got all this rhetoric. What are you going to do about an entire hidden solar system coming up close to the Earth that it does every couple of billion years or whatever? What are you going to do about it? You going to panic? You don't think Yahweh created that too? Created everything else? He's used evil kings like Nebuchadnezzar to punish and to correct, and then gone back with another king and destroyed them. He's going to destroy them through Persia. They're going to destroy Babel. We've got a super powerful government right now, and when Yeshua comes, it's going to fall, because every government on the whole planet is going to fall when he returns. So why get all in a fluster about what some lying politician is saying on the television? It's all smoke and mirrors, and it's tools being used by the adversary to deceive the true Israel, to distract us from coming back to Yahweh and calling upon his name and becoming his people once again. And it's working in some degree. But more and more people are waking up. They're waking up to the truth. They're waking up to the machinations, which are so obvious, of these Talmud worshipers, and their horrible deeds, and more corruption and perversion and filth is coming out about these people. And it's going to come to a head. There may very well be violence in the very near future. You need to be prepared for that. But first, you need to be prepared spiritually for when our Messiah returns. That's the most important. The very most important. You got to prepare yourself. You got to prepare your family. And get ready and have oil for your lamps for when the Messiah comes back, when the bridegroom comes to the wedding feast. You don't want to be without your lamp oil. So, I don't know what more I can tell you than that. Don't be deceived by all these earthly things that are happening, because divine things that are of much more importance are also happening. They're not quite so obvious. The libtards and the Talmudists are screaming at the top of their lungs to try to get your attention. Don't be deceived. Be wiser than the serpent and harmless as the dove. And occupy your personal temple and keep it clean and holy until our Messiah returns. I'm coming down the end of the hour, and I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem to all of you. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and I will I'll be back again tomorrow, beginning with chapter 41 of the book of Ezekiel. Shalom Aleichem, and praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the